Chapter 10, verse 23, if you can turn there in your Bible or Pew Bible is verse, page 819. So Acts chapter 10, verse 23. I wonder if it's a two-door. Oh, sorry. So Acts chapter 10, verse 23. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa went along. The following day, he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. "Stand up," he said. "I'm only a man myself." Talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit him. But God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me?" Cornelius answered, "4 days ago, I was in my house praying at this hour. At 3 p.m, suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, 'Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the Tanner, who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us.' Then Peter began to speak. 'I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with them. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him will receive forgiveness of sins through his name." While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. Here ends the reading of God's word.
Has anyone ever been a part of a surprise party? Let me see your hands if you've been a part of a surprise party. Has anyone been the, shall we say, the victim or the recipient? How about that? A recipient of a surprise party. Who's had a surprise party thrown for them and you just didn't even know it was coming and there was a party? Okay, if you've thrown a surprise party, you know that your goal is to just magnify normal. Somehow normal, you just focus everything on what's normal. Now, I was 6 years old when the man we called Uncle Vince, a really good friend of my father's, took him out. They were going to go. We were living in San Francisco. They took him. He took him out. He's going to go to Berkeley, go to some camera shops because that's what Uncle Vince and Dad did. And they were going to have lunch because that's just what they did. And he took my dad out probably about 8 or 9 in the morning. And we started going crazy. Because our little little house in San Francisco turned into this massive surprise party machine. All my mom's friends came over, my dad's friends, and we kids get out of the way. So we were in the back, but they just went crazy getting the house ready. And about 3:30 or 4 in the afternoon, Dad comes in. And if you've known my father, you even get just a little bit, and he just cries like a baby. He came up the stairs, into the front door, surprise, happy birthday, Vahak, and he was completely dumbfounded. He didn't know what to do. He's crying, crying, and he looks at Uncle Vincent, how'd you do that? How did you surprise me? We just did what we normally do. So if you're going to throw a surprise party, you just do what's normal. Now, right now, here in the middle of Acts, we've got a surprise party. But God doesn't do surprise parties like we do. See, have any of you had a surprise party prepared for you, but you caught on ahead of time? Which of you have caught on to surprise party? No one. Oh, Elaine, okay, you. Yep, okay. So if someone's trying to prepare a surprise party, they want to focus on the normal, but every now and then clues will leak out, don't they? Have you ever been the person to spoil, don't raise your hand, to spoil a surprise party? Been there, done that. See, if you spoil the surprise party, it's because you've leaked out clues. We could never surprise my mom, never. Because I knew it. We tried to throw them anniversary surprise parties. Dad, of course, okay, he's surprised. Mom, I thought so. Because because she caught the clues. Well, God's throwing a surprise party, and he's just dropping clues everywhere. I mean, last week we saw it. There are visions. There are angels showing up. Direct communication from God. God even engages in arguments with his key apostle, Peter. And God just saying, something new's coming. Something new's coming. It's going to be a surprise. It's going to be a surprise. And so surprise number one is that no one is disqualified from the love of God. No one is disqualified from the love of God. Peter goes with the messengers. Again, if you weren't here last week, we talked about how the Lord came in a vision through his angels to both Cornelius, a Roman centurion, and to Peter, trying to get their attention. He connects Cornelius and Peter together. Doesn't have the angel tell Cornelius about the love of Christ. Make sure Peter goes. Peter gets the vision. Okay, I guess I'll go. He comes and comes to Cornelius' house, arrives in Caesarea. Cornelius has called all his friends and relatives together. Peter comes in the house. Cornelius is face down. You know, you might think, that's crazy. Who would bow down before a man? If you had a vision from God that said, I want you to go get this person to come and he's going to tell you something from me, you might take it seriously. So he bows before Peter. Peter says, get up, get up, get up. I'm not the surprise. There's something great that's happening here. Peter tells him, you know, I shouldn't even be here. I shouldn't even be here. A Jew shouldn't even be in the same house as a Gentile. I shouldn't be here. But I'm here because God has said that there is no one. I shouldn't call anyone impure or common or unclean. So you remember his vision? The sheet came down. What was in the sheet? Was it people from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation? What was in the sheet that came down in the vision for Peter? It was animals, clean and unclean animals. And see, though, eating those animals would keep Jews and Gentiles apart, because Gentiles would have unclean food. So they couldn't even come in the same house. Otherwise, they wouldn't be able to worship. So Peter makes the conclusion, it's like, oh, God wasn't just talking about animals. He's talking about people. That there is absolutely no one who is so impure, so unclean, that God's going to reject them. Who's so impure or so unclean that you think God's rejected them? Who is it in your life that you are absolutely convinced that there's no place in the heart of God for this person? They're there. They're in your mind. Just take a minute. You might think it's a Muslim. There is no way. And they don't even have to be as radical as someone in ISIS. But when you see a Muslim, maybe even the way they're dressed, immediately in your mind, outside of the love of God. What about Jews? And that is pretty ironic. The Jewish Messiah, we're convinced, many of us at least, we're convinced that he's not for the Jews. And so when you see a Jewish person, maybe even at Christmas, you're embarrassed to say Merry Christmas. They wouldn't be, no. But you know, it's not just about them. We actually, in our minds, think God's not interested in Jews. And many of us, particularly Armenians, but others as well, can be really anti-Semitic. When we think about Jews, something happens to our mouths and our foreheads. And it's not a smile. It's not bright eyes. It can be a frown or a, oh yeah, uh-huh. Do you think that Jews are beyond the love of Christ? How about through you? How about one of your Sikh neighbors? Is the gospel for Sikhs too? Is it really? What about your Buddhist neighbors or friends or colleagues? Would you dare enter into a conversation with one of them, believing that God's love really is for them? See, no one is disqualified. Absolutely no one is disqualified. What about an atheist? What about someone whose orientation goes against Scripture? What about someone whose behavior in every way imaginable goes against the will of God? Are they disqualified? Are they prohibited? What about a drug dealer? What about a drug abuser? What about a slumlord? What about someone who breaks up a marriage? Gang member? Prostitute? Politician? Is there anybody in your mind who is disqualified from the love of Christ? Well, surprise number one for Peter was that Gentiles, people who are unclean, people who would contaminate his people, would be allowed to hear the gospel. Who is it in your mind? You know, on the back of your bulletin, there's a lot of empty space that probably goes wasted unless you doodle or something like that. Could you turn over there and could you please write down someone that's on your mind right now who is beyond the reach of God. See, surprise number two is that forgiveness is available. Surprise number two is forgiveness is available. See, he starts out in verse 34, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism. Let me just jump ahead. We'll come back to verse 35. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good, healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. And we're witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree or on the cross. But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He's not been seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. See, forgiveness is available. Christ has come, and what he does is Peter preaches the gospel, a condensed version, and what's really fun is that it pretty much follows the outline of the Gospel of Mark. And tradition says that Mark was the one who wrote his gospel, the Gospel of Mark, based on Peter's preaching. There's no mention of the virgin birth. There's no mention of Christmas in Mark. What's it start with? It starts with the gospel coming and Jesus being baptized. And there's so much action of Jesus going around. You don't hear long sermons in the Gospel of Mark, but boy, you sure get lots of healings and power being displayed, and then the crucifixion and the resurrection takes up a huge chunk of the Gospel of Mark. So that's what Peter preaches to these Gentiles, and he said it twice, you know. Cornelius would have heard the gospel, and so all his family and friends are there, and they're listening to him. Started with the baptism, then he did good, he healed, but he was crucified, but God raised him from the dead, and he is judge, and I think, under his breath, not us, not me. He's the one who is joined to judge, not me, not the Jews. He, Jesus Christ, the one risen from the dead, he is the one, and everyone who believes in him can receive forgiveness of sin. There's no favoritism. No favoritism. The verse I skipped can be confusing. Verse 35, I'll read 34 with it. Peter began to speak, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You could misinterpret that to say, oh, see, love wins. As long as someone's heart is in the right place, they want to do what's right, see, it says God accepts them. Accept here means they're qualified. Remember, no one is disqualified. Accept here means they're qualified to receive the gospel. No one is disqualified. No favoritism. No favoritism. They desire to do what's right. They fear God. They become a candidate for his grace and for the gospel. Who you are, what your background is not the issue. The issue is, do you fear God? Do you recognize that he is the judge and that I need forgiveness? See, for that person, there's no favoritism. Forgiveness is available for anyone. For anyone who will believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he came in the flesh, that he lived among humanity, that he healed, he transformed, he taught, he preached, he was crucified, and he rose from the dead. If someone believes that, forgiveness is available. Okay, that person whose name is on the back of your bulletin, would you please write, forgiveness is available for, and then fill in their name. Forgiveness is available for that person. Well, surprise number three, surprise number three is that God doesn't ask our permission before he acts. Have you noticed that? God does not ask my permission or your permission as he pours out his Spirit. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. See, in Jesus Christ, forgiveness is available. The Holy Spirit falls on them. They're hearing this. They've heard the gospel, and it's for us too. It's for us too. It's not just for the Jews. We get to be forgiven too. Have you ever shared the gospel with someone and they're surprised? In Boston, I had the privilege of getting to know a piece of the Persian community that was there. And I remember they started coming to our church because they figured they knew Armenians in Iran, and they figured they wanted to leave Islam, so they said, maybe the Armenians will accept us. Maybe the Armenians will let us come. So they came to the church. I started an investigative Bible study with about four or five of them, and we began to read through the gospel. Guess which one? Yes, Mark. We started going through the gospel, and I'll never forget, this is for us too? It's not just for Armenians? Because for them in Iran, Christianity, Jesus, was for the Armenians. They wanted to leave Islam behind. They saw that it is not the will of God, but they didn't know. They came with hope against hope that they could be forgiven. And if you would have seen, I spoke about 15 Persian words. We got Persian Bibles for them. I would work from English and every now and then throw in some Armenian, which they knew, which was really fun. And the light just went on. And while I never saw the Holy Spirit fall on them and heard them speak in tongues, the transformation in their lives was literally visible. Because it was for them too. God was literally saving them right in the middle of our Bible study. He didn't ask my permission. And here, just like at Pentecost, the same sign of being called and set apart to be a part of this new community, the body of Christ, it's the same for the Gentiles as it was for the Jews. See, God does not ask our permission. The unforgivable become forgivable by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God saves people that you think are beyond. See, this is a surprise. He's throwing a party, but he's trying to let everybody know, you know what, I better just take this into my own hands. God says, I better just take this into my own hands. Peter's doing a good job so far, but you know what? I better just step in right now and make sure they get it. I'm going to save. And so the question becomes, will we cooperate? Will we cooperate with the living God as he's throwing a surprise party, trying to let the whole world know that no one is disqualified, that forgiveness is available, and he will indeed save. But will you and I, will we cooperate? Then Peter said, surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And they asked Peter to stay with them. Now, it seems that that last line is really almost insignificant. But I want you just to see that last line. Then they asked Peter to stay with them a few days. In the same way that the angel did not preach the gospel to Cornelius and to his family members, but demanded that Peter be a part of it, even though Peter didn't bring the Holy Spirit on him, the Holy Spirit fell on them by the will of God. Now listen to this. This could almost sound heretical. It wasn't enough that they received the Holy Spirit. They needed God's workmen there with them to begin the instruction. God will act, God will save, but the question is, will you and I cooperate? Will we say yes when he says, not only share the gospel with them, but spend some time with them? Let's make sure we get them established. So on the back of your bulletin, where you've got written, forgiveness is available for whoever it is, and I will spend time with them. I will spend time with them. See, this is brand new. No one's disqualified. Forgiveness is available. God isn't going to ask my permission. But he does ask us to cooperate. And I am praying that our pews are going to be filled. You have way too much room out there. I'm sorry. There's way too much room in this church on Sunday mornings. I'm praying that your living rooms will be filled with your neighbors. Because you're going to change your mind that, you know, maybe forgiveness is available for them. And your living room can become a little church where you spend time with these newly saved people and help them understand the gospel. See, when you want to pull a surprise party, you focus on normal. You focus on normal. But I want to ask that you would reject normal. Reject normal. As far as God is concerned, normal is over. Normal is over. The time of my prejudices, your prejudices, they're over. They are over. God is saving people. Why not through you? Why not through me? We've got good news. We've got good news. Let's join with God. Let's join with him. Amen.